happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Chris Cooper, filling in for Ann Northrup this week.
Welcome, Chris, coming to us from Palm Springs, California. We're bi-coastal today.
We're very bi.
But you're not quite on the coast. we're going to want to remind you that March 31st is the International Day of Transgender Visibility, and Easter Sunday, of course. But in the headlines, that big federal budget bill that passed House. It bans pride flags on outside U.S. embassies, but most of the anti-LGBTQ riders to the bill were defeated.
House Republicans passed anti-LGBTQ bills that will die in the Democrat-led Senate.
Hope we can hold on to the Senate next year or they'll stop dying. A black gay conservative finally figured out that today's Republican Party is not the place for him. Chris is going to tell you about this.
Joe Biden appoints a record number of LGBTQ federal judges.
Yeah, and anti-LGBTQ town council in Florida is vanquished, including by two LGBTQ candidates.
Washington State mandates school curricula inclusive of overlooked groups, including LGBTQ people.
The movement against trans girls in girls' sports has come to New York City.
Episcopal church leaders, also in New York City, are fighting for a seminary in Manhattan to not be leased to an anti-LGBT group.
That's a hot issue. No charges were filed in the fight that preceded the death of Nex Benedict in Oklahoma.
Unfortunately, we have several murders to report of more trans people in Utah and Texas.
And Los Angeles. Atlanta drag legend Charlie Brown has died at 74. Quite a story.
Down in Brazil, there are finally arrests in the 2018 assassination of out Rio de Janeiro councilwoman Marielle Franco.
And the out prime minister of Ireland has stepped down in a surprise move.
Oprah Winfrey opens up about her gay brother who died of AIDS.
And I'm going to give you my reviews of the plays Doubt and the musical The Notebook on Broadway. And I guess we're out of time.
So, Andy, there's like two ways to look at this budget nonsense, because, you know, they keep doing this sort of this brinkmanship, this game of chicken with the budget. And this time when they passed the budget or the federal appropriations bill, there was like 50 anti-LGBTQ riders that Republicans had stuffed into it. And they all got ditched except for one. One made it through. So you can look at it as, oh, my God, they're not going to be able to fly pride flags anymore outside of embassies. Or you can look at it as, wow, the other 49 things got ditched. So we succeeded. Yes. I don't know which is really the better way to look at it.
Yes. I mean, the specific thing that Speaker Mike Johnson is touting, well, I ban pride flags from outside U.S. embassies, but they can still fly them inside. I suggest you project rainbow colors on the buildings. That's not banned. Oh, seriously, I mean, there's ways to get around this. The budget also eliminates the U.S. House of Diversity and Inclusion. So if you want a diverse house, you're just going to have to vote Democrat. You know, even the deposed Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, noted that the House Democrats look like America and Republicans look like a country club.
Well, and on the flag outside U.S. embassies issue, Joe Biden has already promised that he will work night and day to have that repealed. Now, of course, how much influence he has on whether it gets repealed is questionable, especially if he doesn't win in November.
Now, let's step back a little bit and catch up on Chris Cooper, because Chris, doing my regular watching CBS Sunday morning, I look on the schedule and it says Christian Cooper, and I tune in, and there you are with Nancy Giles in Central Park. We love Nancy, of course. We love you. We're going to link to this report in our email. How was that experience?
Oh, it was wonderful. Nancy is a dream. You know, to be able to take her birding in Central Park was a real thrill and a privilege. So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, she threw in tons of tributes to my nerdiness and my science fiction geekdom. So that was also fun.
And you talked about growing up gay on Long Island, and as I did. I did it before you. I'm from Baldwin. You were from Uniondale?
Yeah, we were next door neighbors.
Yeah. And now you also had an experience. You were promoting your book, your memoir. Give me the title again.
Better Living Through Birding.
Right. And there you are with, tell us about this experience.
Well, it was great because I've been spending the winter in Palm Springs, and I did a book signing at the local bookstore here. And all of a sudden I'm looking at this guy and I'm looking at him sideways. And I'm like, you're Captain Jack Harkness from Doctor Who, because I'm a science fiction geek. And it was actor John Barrowman who played this character, Captain Jack, who was bisexual in the show. He himself is gay, married, and living happily in Palm Springs. And he came to the book signing, and I was over the moon because, you know, I'm a sci-fi geek, so yay.
He's also a singer as well. We love him. All right. Now, let's talk about really what was at the top of the news this week. We sort of can breathe a sigh of relief that even this Supreme Court seems inclined to reject the challenge from the anti-abortion movement to the abortion pill, at least on standing grounds, like the people bringing the challenge had no standing to bring it because they couldn't demonstrate any harm. They're anti-abortion doctors, and, you know, they don't have to be associated with abortion if they don't want to. The case was argued by Erin Hawley, who was the wife and handmaiden of U.S. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. Now, there's a big story in the Times on her. She was trying to stop mifepristone, but her shadowy group is called the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, but her base is the Anti-LGBTQ Alliance Defending Freedom. And she worked on that Christian web designer case that they won at the Supreme Court, where the court ruled that the designer, who didn't do wedding sites, right, had a constitutional right to discriminate against gay couples, even though no gay couples applied to use her service.
Again, the standing issues in that case seems to be patently not there. And yet, you know, hopefully they'll get snagged on the standing issue in this case. The other thing that seemed to come up in the arguments is that the solution that the plaintiffs had put forth for, prescribing mifepristone goes against our religion, was to ban mifepristone for everyone. And that solution seemed to not match the problem that they claimed they were articulating. So that was
That's the right wing way these days. We don't just want our children not to read gay books. We don't want anybody to read gay books.
Right.
By the way, she clerked for Justice Roberts, and she worked on the Dobbs case to allow the bans on abortions, which the court did allow. Now, an update on the coup that's coming in January, if there's a full GOP takeover. Billionaire Leonard Leo, who pumped $100 million into securing a right-wing Supreme Court, is part of a conservative donor group that just put $55 million into Project 2025. We've told you about this, to fill the next Republican administration and the whole government with true believers. 100 conservative groups are involved. They will gut the EPA. They will end, you know, diversity. I mean, and much, much, much worse. You can read about it all.
The good news is that if we do prevail in November and keep that orange menace from getting back in, all that money is largely wasted and won't be able to be used against us in other ways. So that gives us even more incentive to win in November.
Well, let's talk about some gay Republicans. First, I'll talk about George Santos. He's now saying that he'll run as an independent on Long Island, not in the district he ran in before he was expelled from Congress. It's a move that will likely hurt the Republican incumbent in the House, although I can't see anybody voting for him. He's under indictment for multiple fraud charges, but that doesn't seem to have hurt Trump, does it?
Well, meanwhile, in news that you can file under The Earth is Round, a gentleman named Rob Smith, who styles himself as an online commentator, he's gay and he's black. And up until recently, he was a Republican.
We have a picture of him. There he is, Rob Smith.
Yeah, apparently he felt the need to be that special unicorn in that tribe of unicorn hunters. And so, you know, he didn't really have a problem, I guess, with, you know, Republican opposition to same-sex marriage, with the Republican onslaught against us with Don't Say Gay bills in the various states, with the various Republican Party platforms statewide and nationally that target us. None of that seemed to bother him. But when he personally was heckled in December at a Turning Point USA event in Phoenix, that bothered him. And so now, 3 months later, in a 25-minute video, he is announcing to the world that he is no longer a Republican.
Yes, interestingly, he took you know, a long time to figure this out. He's accusing of what's his name of Nick Fuentes of being a big closet case, who was the head of one of the heads of Turning Point. Deeply closeted homosexual, he says. Now, this is what we want from some of these Republicans. Start telling the truth about what you know. I mean, if Ronna McDaniel were doing that and saying, I repent, I'm spilling the beans now, I'll tell you how awful they are because, you know, I know about it and I'm sorry.
She might still have a job.
Yeah, right. So House Republicans advanced a bill, the Equal Campus Access Act, that would prohibit federal funding to colleges that refuse to exempt student religious groups from university all-comers policies. If you have a student group on a campus, they say under our non-discrimination laws, you got to take everybody who wants to join. But they say the religious group should be able to reject homosexuality because it's, you know, it's a sin that sends you to hell forever. You know, these are one house bills, but if the Republicans take back the House and the Senate and the White House, these are the kinds of bills that they're going to pass. We also passed a national ban on trans athletes in the Judiciary Committee, led by Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
All right. In Alabama, they're forcing universities to implement a trans bathroom ban and outlaw DEI. Restrooms must be designated on the basis of biological sex. But also in Alabama, in a special election for a state House of Representatives seat there, in a district that Trump won, a Democrat won by 25 points by promoting abortion access and access to in vitro fertilization.
This be a harbinger for things to come in November for the elections nationally. Well, this is a statewide election. Level representative, correct, in Alabama?
Yeah. And did you read about, I just read about this, North, you know, we told you about Mark Robinson, the crazy right winger who's the candidate for governor of North Carolina. He's the lieutenant governor now. Very extremely anti-gay. Well, the nominee for superintendent of schools from the Republican Party, Michelle Morrow, is worse. She's a QAnon conspiracist affiliated with Liberty First Grassroots, who has suggested that Jim Carrey drinks the blood of children, and she supported a televised execution of Barack Obama. I mean,
And she hasn't repented from these statements except to say, oh, they were in jest. Sure.
It should be actionable. In Maine, a lesbian teacher in the York School District, Michelle Figuera, settled a federal lawsuit over the harassment to which she was subjected, degrading remarks about her sexuality from her direct supervisor, who the school board had backed. And the terms of her settlement were not disclosed. Okay.
Well, before we wander away from election victories, is now a good time to talk about what happened down in Florida? Some good news from Florida?
Please.
All right. So down in Florida, in the community of Surfside, which Andy correctly reminded me is the place where that terrible condo collapse occurred a few years back, they had an election where they had in place where certain commissioners who were not very responsive to the community and had done things, the mayor, for example, and that slate of commissioners who worked with that slate of commissioners had banned the raising of the rainbow flag, which had happened in a previous year. So a bunch of regular old people decided we're not having it. And these Floridians decided to put up their own slate and campaigned. And they won. They flipped surf side from the dark side to the good side. And I know this because one of them is actually a really good friend of mine. And when I heard he was running, I was kind of shocked because I'm like, well, yeah, you're super smart. You're a great guy. You're a law professor, but you're an ordinary person. And it's so exciting to me that ordinary people are stepping up and saying, look, you know what? If we're going to take our state back, it's got to be city council by city council, school board by school board, from the grassroots, putting in the elbow grease. Now, the slate that won, that flipped Surfside, included Gerardo Vildostigi, or Jerry, as he goes by. And he, I think we have his photo. And also is Tina Paul, who got, they were the two top vote getters, which is how the election is run down there. Tina Paul got the most votes, so she automatically becomes the vice mayor. And then Jerry Vildostigi got the second number of top votes, and so he joins the council. And it's just marvelous to see, you know, people taking Florida back from the grassroots.
Well, they're taking back 8th Athens, Ohio, and this is very similar. The out Nelsonville city auditor, Taylor Sappington, he's at the center of that picture holding a sign that says, "Don't get mad, get elected." That's from the Victory Fund. He's on track to become the next Athens County Treasurer. His primary win sets him up for an uncontested race on September 1st. And then tell us about, give us an update on what's going on in Palm Springs for the congressional race there.
Sure. Since I am here in Palm Springs, this is really important because it can affect who controls the House of Representatives. So the 41st Congressional District here in Palm Springs currently has a guy named Ken Calvert holding that seat. He's a Republican. He is very conservative, and he has been there for so long. He's probably grown roots around the chair there in the House of Representatives. But he's being challenged for the second time in a row by a young guy, openly gay, named Will Rollins. And he almost took out Ken Calvert the last election, lost only by about 1,100 votes.
Now that's Will on the right there with his husband, I guess it is, right?
It is his husband, correct. So he's kind of like, you know,
Paolo, let's name him Paolo Benvenuto.
So they have two kids, and he's, you know, he's actually got, it's a toss-up race at this point. He's got a chance of taking back this seat. And as we know, the Republican hold on the House of Representatives is razor thin.
It's one seat at this point.
Republicans
are leaving early. Some people think at the behest of some of these never Trump people are saying, get out of the House and let's let the Democrats run it because we can't get anything done.
So I think the point with all of this is that, you know, we can step up personally and make a difference. We can run for, you know, our school boards. We can run for the city councils. We can do like Will Rollins is doing and actually run for the House of Representatives. And we can support these people. And if you decide to run, you can count on some backing. For example, Jerry got help from Equality Florida and Save LGBTQ down in Florida to help organize phone banks and stuff. Will Rollins, I'm pretty sure he has the support of the Victory Fund. And, there's just all kinds of resources you can tap if you decide to get involved in the fight. And we should get involved in the fight.
We've been paying no attention to these community council in the education system in New York. And there are 32 of them. They don't really have any power, but they have advisory roles. And we talked about the Manhattan Board bringing an anti-trans resolution against trans girls and trans sports. And it passed 8-3 in Manhattan. And two of these board members are openly members of Moms for Liberty, a far-right group right here in Manhattan. So in these school board elections, only parents can vote, and they have to vote for other parents. So it's a heavy...
Well, let's be clear. This isn't school board, right? This is something else.
Well,
this...
they used to have community school boards. Now they have community education councils, which are advisory. They have no power. They recommend things to the central board, which is run by the mayor. We have mayoral control of the schools. But this member, Maud Marin of Moms for Liberty, was, you know, challenged in January by one young woman who identified as a proud queer woman. And Marin said, which I think means she's a straight girl without a boyfriend.
She's well, also she's said recently in a private chat.
Huh?
I was going to say, she's also said recently in a private chat that transgender children don't exist.
It's tough. Well, and we should point out that in other political news that Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden spoke at the Human Rights Campaign, honored Next Benedict there, and was quite winning. This was the HRC, Human Rights Campaign Fan Dinner. She stopped by in Yorktown there, Palm Springs, to speak to a group that included Barry Manilow and the aforementioned Bill Rollins. All right, let's go back to the federal judgeships, shall we?
Sure. There's been good news there.
Well, a labor leader, Nicole Berner, became the first out gay judge confirmed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit that covers Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia. She was also a lawyer for Planned Parenthood. She was opposed by all Republicans and Democrat Joe Manchin. There are two other lesbian federal appeals court judges in the country and only a handful from the labor movement. Berner lives in Tacoma, Maryland with her family. At Planned Parenthood, she litigated the case heard by SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, yesterday on the access to the abortion bill. Now, when we have this data, Joe Biden has at this point tied the record for most LGBTQ judges confirmed to the federal courts in less than 4 years in office, matching the 11 that Obama confirmed in 8 years. And if, but, you know, all this stops if the Republicans get back control of the Senate. If the Republicans get back control of the Senate, which is considered likely, they don't, even if Biden wins, they don't have to confirm any of his judges if they don't want to.
Well, it's also really why it's also really important that we flip the House, which we have a very good chance of doing, because, you know, God forbid the Orange Menace gets back in and the Senate falls as well. We need a fire stop, something to stop the worst of the worst that they would try to inflict on us.
But the only way to confirm judges is through the U.S. Senate. So
that's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Well, we need. So folks, try to understand what's at stake here. All right. In Texas, the wicked Attorney General of the West, Ken Paxton, who was accused of defrauding investors at a Dallas tech company, a case that has dragged on for years. Well, the felony charges are going to be dismissed against this creep if he completes 100 hours of community service, 15 hours of legal ethics classes for the Attorney General, and pays restitution of $271,000 by September. This is the guy impeached last year, but the Senate, which includes his wife, let him off. And none of this has stopped his anti-LGBTQ crusades. But a Travis County district judge blocked Paxton's latest effort targeting transgender Texans. He was demanding that PFLAG National, the parents group, turn over information and documents about its support for families in Texas seeking gender-affirming care for their transgender youth. So that's the kind of guy he is.
It's been really interesting to watch all of that unfold in Texas, because it's really been sort of an intra-Republican war out there between the supporters of Ken Paxton and the folks who wanted to get rid of him. And unfortunately, Ken Paxton seems to have won that war. Yeah.
Well, Wyoming wants to get rid of trans people. They became the 24th U.S. state to ban transgender medical treatment for minors. Licenses of doctors, pharmacists, and other healthcare providers will be revoked if they extend such care. All right.
Well, meanwhile, going back to Florida for a second, the Moms for Liberty co-founder has sued to keep her threesome sexed messages private. If you remember Bridget Ziegler and her husband, who was charged with rape, Christian Ziegler, well, the rape charges were dropped. And so because of that, she's trying to prevent some of the sexting messages that they exchanged with that partner from becoming public that were discovered in the course of the rape investigation. Why does this matter? Because Bridget Ziegler down in Florida has been one of those crusaders against us and against the LGBT community, especially.
She likes sex with women, though.
but likes sex with women and now doesn't want us to know that by seeing her sexting private messages. So Bridget, just get gone already. Nobody wants you down there.
Well, we don't want this either. Republicans are pushing bills to bring religious chaplains into public schools, pushed by a religious consortium that says chaplains are a way to convert millions in schools, are public schools, are a way to convert millions to Christianity. They've been introduced in 14 states. Texas allowed it last year, letting school districts substitute chaplains for school counselors. But the biggest districts have rejected that in Texas. But Utah, Indiana, and Louisiana passed one House bills, but they died in Louisiana and Utah, pending in nine states. One passed both houses in Florida, and it awaits DeSantis's signature. Last year, the religious right wants bills that make chaplains in schools, next year, they want to make them mandatory. In Texas, the GOP rejected an amendment requiring parental consent to talk to a chaplain. So you want parental consent to hear about sex or read a gay book, but no, you don't need parental. We don't want you to have parental consent to go to the minister in your school. And, you know, this is because Justice Neil Gorsuch has referred to the so-called separation of church and state. Yeah, that's what we used to call it. It's gone.
Yeah, it's completely eroded. Speaking of religion, is it time to talk about the seminary block in Chelsea in New York?
Right down the block from Ann and me is the General Theological Seminary. I pass it often on my way to Chelsea Market and other places. They're on 10th Avenue around 21st Street, I guess it is.
In between I think on 21st
Street. The Moore family, Clement Clark Moore, it was the night before Christmas and everything. They donated the land and they built this seminary for the Episcopal Church. It's the General Theological Seminary. But they don't have many people studying to be priests, I guess, anymore. So they're trying to rent out the space and they want to give it to a right-wing school of sacred music run by Abdiel Capital, whose managing partner, Colin Moran, is chair of the board of something called First Things, which is actively anti-LGBTQ, anti-abortion, and anti-trans. So senior clergy in the church, including the Bishop of New York, have, Matthew Haid, oppose the deal. We're concerned that the lack of full acceptance of the LGBTQ stance of its founders and the lack of transparency in its funding, human dignity is not negotiable, and they're trying to stop this deal, but it is being pushed through. I mean, they're desperate for money.
That's the thing, is that they have serious financial issues, and they're looking for a way to ameliorate some of them. And, the seminary block, I adore that block. It is one of the most beautiful blocks in New York. And a lot of people don't know about it because it's kind of tucked away on a Chelsea block. So nobody wants to see that, fall into disrepair. But on the other hand, we don't want it taken over by some right wingers.
And I don't see how you can train church musicians without embracing gay people. I mean, Ned Roram, the famous, composer, gay composer, he used to say, all organists, at least in America, he said, are gay. He said, it's not true in France and Germany, but it's true here. All right. Elsewhere in religious news, let's put this guy's... Joseph Kulima, a straight, cisgender, white Christian man, lost his teaching job teaching at Calvin University in Grand Rapids after officiating at the wedding of two women in 2021.
Now, Calvin University is a denominational university affiliated with the Christian Reformed Church, CRC. Which I don't know.
He got permission from his pastor and everything, and they all said, "Okay, you can do that." But the school is objecting about the performance of the wedding. So he's suing them. He's acting as a private citizen. He said he was acting as a private citizen when he did this. And he's a very, beloved teacher. So.
And he has lots of roots with the school. He is a Calvin University alumnus. He went to Calvin. He worked there for 14 years. He's grown up in that community, he said. So,
His suit will be a test of religious exemptions because he doesn't teach religion at the school. Anyway. All right. In Washington State, Governor Jay Inslee signed a bill requiring schools in the state to teach LGBTQ history. incorporating inclusive curricula on the histories, contributions, and perspectives of historically marginalized groups, racial, ethnic, religious, people with differing needs, people with disabilities, LGBTQ people, and people with various socioeconomic and immigration backgrounds. So he signed it.
But meanwhile, on the other end of the country, bomb threats are disrupting drag story hours. Two in rapid succession, one in Reading, Massachusetts, outside of Boston, and another in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Both bomb threats were fake, though there was a suspicious object found, I believe, in the Lancaster library. But, you know, this follows a pattern that we've been seeing now for a while of drag time story hours being targeted by the right wing for really vicious, vociferous protests and now bomb threats as well. So,
well, yeah, these people have a lot of time on their hands. They contested it at the county commission for 2 weeks. Moms for Liberty held a prayer service led by local pastors the night before it was to take place. Shouldn't you be getting ready for Holy Week, you guys? Well, all right. Supporters of the story hour signed up to attend, but the bomb threat got it canceled. Anyway, in Milwaukee, a public school principal has been accused of vicious bullying of a first grade student whose parents are gay.
The guy's name is Kasanga Kalumbala, and he was at the time working at a French immersion school, but now currently he has been transferred and is the acting principal of the Bethune Academy. So despite the complaints, he wasn't disciplined. He was just transferred, and whether that was even related to the complaints, you know.
He had a meet with the parents in front of the principal, and he said, "No queer is going to speak to me like this."
Yep. He's also said that to the child when the child reacted to some bullying, he said, "Well, most people believe it is wrong to be gay," and that he said that he himself had been raised to believe that gay people are evil and will burn in hell. Look, so this is what he's telling the kid.
He once locked the kid in a dark room and threatened to kill him if he told anyone. You know, it's unbelievable.
These are the allegations anyway that have been put forth by the kids.
Three LGBTQ families have pulled their kids out of the school.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the latest in the next Benedict case in Oklahoma. The Tulsa County DA is bringing no criminal charges in the school fight that led to the death of non-binary 16-year-old Next Benedict. A death that the medical examiner says was a suicide. They say there was no interior injury from the fight, even though it landed next in the hospital. The police say they found brief notes related to suicide. We haven't seen those. There really needs to be an independent autopsy in the case. Overdoses of the kinds of drugs that Nex is alleged to have taken are virtually unknown, according to Dr. Larry Mass, who is an addiction expert, one of the founders of the Gay Men's Health Crisis. We need to know how much of the drugs were in Nex's system. And, you know, even if it's proven that Nex took his own life, it's clear that the bullying that he was subjected to for years played a major role, something of supreme unconcern to school officials and the viciously anti-LGBTQ state superintendent of schools, Ryan Walters.
What were the pronouns that Nex used?
He, they.
Okay.
We had to concentrate on that. We screwed it up a couple of weeks ago. We apologized.
Yeah, no. I mess it up all the time, and I'm working
we're
hard
all
to get it right,
here.
Which is why I'm asking. I want to make sure I get it right.
We're all here to learn.
Yeah.
All right.
For a second, I want to talk about Alabama again, because LGBTQ rights lawyers face potential sanctions over judge shopping there. So apparently what they've been doing is they've been filing a case and then pulling it if it got assigned to a conservative judge that they considered a bad draw. And that is apparently not accepted or not acceptable in Alabama, and they are threatening a friend of this show who's been on many times and a big hero of mine, James Essex from the American Civil Liberties Union. He's one of the LGBTQ rights advocates who has been threatened with these potential sanctions. What I find this super fascinating, because all you have to do is look down at Texas, and they've been judge shopping for that judge who, you know, threw out the abortion drug.
We do it and they do it, and they do it more effectively, actually. And but the federal court system is trying to crack down on it and say we're going to assign these things more randomly. Not you can't just pick one little sub-district and bring your case there. All right. In Utah, let's talk about some of the trans people that we lost this week. In Utah, the body of trans man Alex Franco, 21, was discovered in a desert area of Utah County, killed by a single bullet. Witnesses say he was abducted on March 17th near his home, and a shot was fired as soon as he got in the car. Two teens, 15 and 17, were arrested and charged with multiple felonies in the connection with the homicide. A third suspect is at large. Franco graduated from Taylor High School, had intended to attend Dixie State University there in Utah, and he was an apprentice in the building trades.
Meanwhile, in Houston, Texas, Diamond Brigman, a 36-year-old Black trans woman, another Black trans woman, was killed in a drive-by shooting while standing on the side of the street. And no murderer has been apprehended, but police believe they've found the car that was used in the killing. So that is yet another trans person murdered. Diamond is the 35th trans person victim of fatal violence identified in Texas since 2013.
And a vigil was held for Diamond on Sunday. In Los Angeles, trans Latina Maraxis Medina, 24, was shot and killed, her body dumped in the street and found by police. A car was seen fleeing the scene. There was another woman victim of a similar crime who was shot to death 2 days earlier, and a third woman, a sex worker, 25, was killed there in February. So there's a pattern of a predator killing sex workers. Medina worked for Universal Studios and was a makeup artist. Okay. And then there's, people not friendly to us, like LSU women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey. She threatened legal action against the Washington Post over what she called a hit piece being prepared that she did not cooperate with. Now, she was Brittany Griner's coach at Baylor and discouraged Brittany and other players from coming out. And when Griner was detained for months in Russia, Mulkey refused to address the outrage, calling it it was a personal matter. But LSU is still in the NCAA tournament as of Sunday, and next plays on Saturday.
Also, sort of looking at all these issues of trans people being murdered, Media Matters and GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, have charged that the New York Times fails to quote trans people. In 2/3 of the stories on anti-trans legislation that they monitored in a one-year period. So between February 15th, 2023 to 2024, they say the Times published at least 65 articles that mentioned U.S. anti-trans legislation in either the headline or the lead paragraphs. And in that sample, 66% of the articles did not quote even one trans or gender nonconforming person. 18% of the articles quoted misinformation from anti-trans activists without fact-checking or context, and 6 of those 65 articles obscured the anti-trans background of sources, erasing their histories of extremist rhetoric or action.
That's what they used to do to gay people back in the day at the Times. They've improved on that, but they have to improve on their trans coverage. In Arlington, Texas, the U.S. men's international soccer team, they won their final in the CONCACAF Nations League 2-0 over Mexico, but the match was stopped twice due to anti-gay chants from some Mexican fans. Now, FIFA has been working to eradicate the discriminatory chanting. Announcements were made, you got to stop it, because, the game was paused. Some offenders were removed. they persisted, second pause, and then they just basically stopped the match prematurely. So these fans would rather their team forfeit than end their homophobic rants.
No, the United States didn't win that match against Mexico 2-0. So,
right. Can we talk about, I did apologize. I did not know about drag legend, Mr. Charlie Brown, who died March 21st at the age of 74 from heart surgery complications. For 50 years, Brown entertained with body comedy, withering audience monologues, and a risque musical numbers at clubs such as Lips Atlanta, the Atlanta Eagle, Underground Atlanta, Illusions, dozens of others, most prominently Charlie Brown's Cabaret, which was the rooftop drag stage that he oversaw from 1990 to 2004, atop Backstreet Atlanta, which is the city's massive 24-hour disco. There's Charlie Brown with Mayor Andre Dickens there in Atlanta.
He was born Charles Dillard in Siloam, Tennessee, and the grandson of a missionary Baptist preacher. So from like a really tiny small town in Tennessee. And what I find so fascinating is how his life sort of spans so much of the movement's milestones. Like he was kicked out of the Air Force after coming out to his commanding officer for conduct unbecoming of a soldier. You know, all of this that happened before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then before that was removed and we could serve openly. The Mister in his stage name was the result of a Nashville city ordinance that a nightclub crackdown passed in the early 1970s, requiring female impersonators to tell audiences that they were in fact men in dresses. And in a 2023 editorial for a Nashville newspaper, after lawmakers in Tennessee passed a ban on drag performances entirely, Brown noted that that law was far more dangerous than anything we ever faced back in the 1970s, quote. So his life sort of spanned all these different milestones of what our community has gone through.
And he devoted, we're going to link to his full obituary in Atlanta Magazine, identified as a gay man, RuPaul went to see him as a kid, and that kind of opened up RuPaul's life. He did a lot of work to fight AIDS, survived by his husband, Fred Wise, a tremendous character there in the community. A couple of notes of people we've lost. We've told you about the passing of David Mixter. The memorial service for that veteran gay activist was held Monday in New York. Among those eulogizing him was New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and the new U.S. Ambassador, Sean Patrick Maloney. We will link to that. There's going to be a celebration of the life of DJ Stacey Ledwith Sunday, April 7th at 4 at Blondie's Bar in the Upper West Side, 212 West 79th Street. And we will link to the obit who we talked about last week, lesbian civil rights attorney Joan Gibbs in the Gay City News. Or just go to gaycitynews.com. Chris, now tell me about the green honey creeper.
All right.
Why we are talking about it on Gay USA.
Birds, man, birds. So I actually have seen green honey creepers. I actually was looking at them back in December when I was down in Trinidad. Beautiful birds, fairly common throughout the American tropics. But there's one green honey creeper that they spotted on a farm in Colombia that has this rare biological phenomenon known as bilateral gynandromorphism. And what that means say it with me now, bilateral gynandromorphism. And what it means is that half the bird is male and half the bird is female. It is insane. It's the coolest looking bird. And it just shows, you know, that gender nonconformity and, you know, all kinds of sexual variety exists in nature. So don't let anybody tell you that we are unnatural. I mean, they even had a northern cardinal that had the same thing, bilateral gynandromorphism, where half the northern cardinal was red and the other half was brown like a female. So this stuff happens in nature. But I think the best part about this story is the New York Times headline that went with it, which is, this bird is half male, half female, and completely stunning. And I think if we can only adopt that attitude, because the bird is, it's just a fact that this bird is stunning. why can't we have that attitude towards each other as human beings?
Have you ever seen one?
A green honey creeper?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen plenty of green honey creepers, but I've never seen one with bilateral gynandromorphism. I would love to. That would be so awesome, but they're rare.
All right. International news?
Sure.
Well, in Brazil, an arrest has been made in the 2018 assassination of bisexual black Rio City Councilwoman Marielle Franco, 38. Detained were a congressman, Chiquinho Brazio, and his brother Domingo, a member of Rio's state accounts watchdog. So these are public officials who went after her.
Also detained, Rivaldo Barbosa, who was Rio's chief of police and investigating the assassination. And yes. he's accused now of having masterminded it, or at least facilitated its plotting.
Right. I mean, you know, the shooter in the case got a plea deal. These folks hired the shooter. He got a plea deal in exchange for naming those behind the assassination. Franco's sister, Aniel, has been appointed Minister of Equality, by the way, in the leftist Lula government there.
Meanwhile, big shocking news out of Ireland. Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, or Prime Minister of Ireland, announced that he's stepping down. And this was completely unexpected.
He's been there with his husband, Dr. Matthew Barrett.
Yeah, he's given no reason behind his decision except
personal and political, he said.
Yeah, he said, and I think someone close to him said that he never had any intention of being a lifetime politician. So he's made that personal choice and is stepping down.
He said, "I'm proud we've made the country a more equal and more modern place." He was the first biracial Taoiseach as well there in Ireland. In Ghana, a pastor and musician, Sonny Badu, warned that even gospel music isn't safe from the evil gaze, saying that, get this, 78% of gospel musicians and pastors are gay or involved in LGBTQ activities. 78%. That's very specific. That's very specific. I don't know how he knows this. He's banned all entertainment in his house to avoid LGBTQ influence.
Oh, good Lord.
We await the decision of Ghana's High Court on whether Ghana's latest anti-LGBTQ bill passed by the parliament is constitutional. The president is waiting on that decision before signing it.
In happier news, hopscotching way down under to Australia, congratulations go to Penny Wong and Sophie Aluash, who got married after being partners for 20 years. Penny Wong is Australia's first out lesbian senator. So and congratulations to the two of them. They came in 2007.
Right. In New South Wales, that state's parliament banned conversion therapy after an all-night debate. Had an all-night debate, and then they passed it 22-4. What the hell were they waiting for? It's already been banned in Victoria and the Australian Capital Territory. Anyway,
in disturbing news, England is looking at limiting gender transitions for young people. And unfortunately, U.S. lawmakers are paying close attention, right-wing ones anyway, because a lot of times they use what happens overseas as justification for starting something here, even though they're taking it out of context and not doing exactly the same thing, but rather broadening it beyond any reason. So it's a little disturbing that this is happening in England because it could affect us here.
Chris,
yes.
They are not going to Russia. they have added the international LGBTQ movement to its list of terrorists and extremists. Now, of course, they just had a horrible terrorist attack there, which, of course, they're trying to blame on Ukraine, which is a bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. But anyway, two employers of a bar were arrested for promoting LGBTQ extremism because they held a drag show on March 12th.
They've got terrorists lining up and killing 140 people, but this is what they're worried about.
These guys face 10 years in prison for hosting a drag show.
Extremism. Well, The other reason why we're not moving to Russia, and I don't know if you saw this story, Andy, it goes back a ways, but there was a Canadian sort of very hyper-religious family that was distressed that so much gay stuff was being accepted in Canada. So they decided to move to Russia. And they're already whining about how awful it is and how terrible they've been treated and how they can't get access to their money and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, in the category of maybe what goes around comes around.
All right. Israel's high court in a landmark ruling ordered the Population and Immigration Authority to issue birth certificates for lesbian couples with the names of both parents listed as mothers of their children. They ruled that the state can't give preference to biological parentage over legal parentage. This case was brought in 2017, so it took a long time. And in Mexico, the state of Baja California just completed its first adoption for a same-sex couple. And hey, go ahead.
I was going to say, we are burying the international lead, which is that in Thailand, lawmakers overwhelmingly passed a same-sex marriage bill. It passed with the approval of 400 of the 415 members of the House of Representatives, with only 10 voting against it and 2 abstaining and 3 not voting. The bill now goes to the Senate, which rarely rejects any legislation that their house passes. And then it just needs the assent of the king for it to become law. This would make Thailand the first country in Southeast Asia to pass such a law.
Vietnam?
Not according to what I read. It says it's a third in Asia generally after Taiwan and Nepal.
Yes. Oh, Taiwan and Nepal, right. Vietnam did something with domestic partners. But yeah, you're right, for marriage. And a poll in Thailand said 97% of Thais were in favor of marriage equality for the country. They still don't allow you to change your gender identity, despite a highly visible transgender community there. But they already have a law banning discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Okay. All right. Health news. Sure. You've read how measles is on the rise, especially in Florida, where the quack state surgeon general under DeSantis, Joseph Lodapo, who was called COVID shots, the work of the devil, told parents it's perfectly fine for parents to send their unvaccinated children to school. The CDC calls for a 21-day period of quarantine for anyone without a prior history of infection or immunization. So, and the other thing that's spreading in Florida now is leprosy.
Oh, jeez.
They have a fifth of the U.S. cases are now in Florida, 81% in Central Florida. No word on what Dr. Quack is doing to stem that tide.
You know, as if I needed more reasons to not set foot in Florida.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to run out of time. So we were going to run a tape of Oprah Winfrey, but we're going to link to it in our email instead. Okay. I think we should do that. She received GLAAD's Vanguard Award at their annual dinner and used the occasion to talk about her younger brother, Jeffrey Lee, who died of AIDS 35 years ago when he was 29. And it was a very moving speech, and we will link to it in our email. Congress maintained funding for domestic HIV prevention care and treatment, rejecting a House Republican proposal to cut $767 million out of it. Okay, some entertainment news.
Sure.
Well, there was a revival on Broadway that I can hardly recommend, me recommending a play. John Patrick Shanley's Doubt, set in 1964 at a Bronx Catholic school. It's a test of wills between a stern principal, Sister Aloysius, played by Amy Ryan there, and an affable priest, Father Flynn, Liev Schreiber. Now, even if you saw Cherry Jones in the original on Broadway or the movie starring Meryl Streep, this is a very taut 90 minutes featuring actors with perfect timing, comic and dramatic, great supporting cast. Zoe Kazan as a young idealistic nun, and Quincy Tyler Bernstein as a black mother of the only black kid in the school. There's a gay angle that I won't give away. Just see it if you can. Much less enthusiastic about The Notebook, a beloved book and movie, which I haven't read or seen, but now a musical on Broadway from Ingrid Michaelson. This is a show with Alzheimer's at its center, but also love. And while the performers are really fine, especially Marianne Plunkett, who's there on the far right, who's suffering from Alzheimer's, and Dorian Harewood there in the center plays her husband, the music is really forgettable, but still many in the audience were moved. What do you know about this Star Wars series, The Acolyte, that's apparently bringing a trans, brimming with trans talent?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, I'm relying on you.
No, I have failed in my science fiction nerddom about on that. I kind of fell off of Star Wars a while ago. They just got a little too
cool. But you used to, but you used to work at DC Comics, didn't you?
I worked at Marvel Comics, but I am familiar with DC, and I've done some writing for them recently. And they are actually honoring the late transgender writer Rachel Pollack, who died of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, and created one of their first transgender superheroes. So they are reissuing two of her most beloved stories in a DC Pride comic book reissue, Celebration of Rachel Pollack, they're calling it. So that's wonderful that they're doing that.
And Jared Carmichael's reality show premieres on HBO this Friday for 8 episodes. He's the out comic. Hollywood Reporter calls it fascinatingly uncomfortable.
And to be clear, it's not a reality show per se. It's the reality part of the title refers to this is his reality.
Examines himself as a boyfriend, son, and friend. We do have a minute and a half. We can either chat or we can show them a little of Oprah. What do you want to do?
Let's show them a little bit of Oprah. Why not, right?
Why don't we go out with Oprah and you can run the credits over that. It's been great having you. Happy holidays to everybody who celebrates anything this weekend. And it's been great being with you. And here's Oprah Winfrey at the GLAAD Awards.
I have to say that many people don't know this, but 35 years ago, my brother Jeffrey Lee passed away when he was just 29 years old from AIDS. Growing up at the time we did, in the community that we didn't have the language to understand or to speak about sexuality and gender in the way that we do now. And at the time, I really didn't know how deeply my brother internalized the shame that he felt about being gay. I wish he could have lived to have witnessed these liberated times and to be here with me tonight. All the years of the Oprah Show for me were about sharing stories that actually helped people be more of their authentic selves. And I know that that is the truest form of what it means to be free, to have personal freedom, to be able to fully be who you are, to have the truest expression of yourself as a human being. And what I've learned over the years of interviewing over 35,000 people one-on-one, 35,000 people one-on-one.